opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome to another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Rick Redding, your host, where every week I go out and I find two of the most interesting people in the Ville. I interview them and put them on the show. And that's a little thing we call the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm glad you're with us. Before we get started, I want to talk to you about some very exciting news. We have a new sponsor, and I'd like to welcome Snelling Staffing to the show. The Rusty Satellite Show is sponsored in part by Snelling Staffing of Louisville. And in future weeks, we're going to have each and every week, I'm going to talk about a job of the week over there. They have a lot of great positions, not just temporary positions. They have full-time positions, a wide variety of types of jobs from full-time to, jobs paying upwards of $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year, and it's a great company. They're very busy. Snelling is a locally owned franchise of the Snelling Company, and the Louisville office is one of the best in the country. I can guarantee you that. I know a lot about them, and I will in future weeks be telling you a lot about Snelling Staffing. So welcome to the show from our friends at Snelling. If you're looking for a job, I encourage you to tune in, and there will be links to Snelling on Louisville KY.com and on the RustySatelliteShow.com websites, and we're just very excited to have added Snelling to our list of sponsors. So, thank you very much. Let's get on with the show. I tell you, this week I went out and I have two really, really great guests. In the second half of the show, you're going to hear from Tom Fawbush, who is the general manager at WBNA-TV. That's Channel 21 on your regular TV dial, and the station is just is doing some really innovative stuff. It's the only locally owned station of the seven full-power TV stations in this market. You may not be as familiar with WBNA as you are with other stations, but Tom has an interesting background. He's been in the TV business his entire career here in Louisville, and has done a lot of things, and they are doing some innovative stuff. I know you might remember that I once had Carolyn McLean on the show. She was the 100th guest about a year ago, and she did a show over there called Deadbeat. It got a lot of publicity about paying child support. Tom's got a lot of innovative ideas. I'm even involved in one of the ideas for a show on WBNA. So I think you'll find our conversation to be very interesting. So that's coming up in he's my second guest on the show. But before we do that, I want to talk about Allie Troutman. And she is the brains behind Wicked Sheets, which is a very interesting and innovative company. Allie will tell you the story in the interview, but basically she's come up with this company and it's just taken off. It's one of the great, potentially it's one of the great success stories of entrepreneurial business in Louisville. Started here, she does her sales online primarily and all over the world, not the country, all over the world. Allie is selling her special sheets, and she's getting into some other businesses. She invited me. I saw her at an Oldham County Showcase event last week, and she invited me to invite her to be on the show. I went over to her home over off Grinstead Drive, and she's just a bundle of energy, a lot of fun, very engaging personality, and driving the success of that business. So I'd like to get that started. Let's listen to my interview with Allie right after this message.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Well, this is an amazing looking corporate headquarters, Allie, of Wicked Sheets. So, Allie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is really great. I've been fascinated by the idea of your business for a while, and finally caught up with you last week when you spoke in Oldham County. And I guess let's just start out by telling me about where the idea came from for your entrepreneurial business.
Sure. The story of how Wicked Sheets began is my absolute favorite. It was 2008, Easter brunch back in St. Louis, where I'm from, and my whole family was sitting around. We're talking about, Easter, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the Troutman side of the family is pretty known for speaking their mind and discussing all things human. And in that, we actually were discussing bodily functions. And so my pregnant cousin, she was in her second trimester, came up to me and she's like, "Allie, I know you have night sweats. I am sweatier than ever right now in the second trimester of my pregnancy. What do you do? How do you cope with it? I wake up, I feel gross, I have to change the sheets every morning. So what do you do?" And we kind of did the dance, song and dance. I said, you put your left foot out, you put your left foot in. And people always say, they turn the fan on, they turn the air conditioning down as low as they can, they change their sheets every morning. And I thought, there's got to be a better way. And so at that moment, her husband walks past me and he's wearing a Nike Dry Fit golf shirt. And I jokingly just said, "Hey, Jason, you're going to come home one day and we're going to cut up all your golf shirts and turn them into bed sheets." And everybody,
and
of course,
those are expensive shirts.
Oh, yeah. A Nike or an Under Armour, a really nice ClimaCool Dry Fit Under Armour, they're about $60 to $70. And yeah, so I knew this was maybe going to be an expensive test run, but everybody, said, "Okay, Allie's just coming up with another zany idea." And I looked over at my dad, and he's been in sales and marketing his whole life, and he said, "That's not a bad idea. Maybe you should try it." So I got in the car, drove home from St. Louis back to Louisville, down 64. There's nothing to look at except cornfields. And I scratched in a notebook the entire ride home how I was going to start my new dry fitted sheets company. And very, very soon after I started saying dry fitted sheets, an attorney I knew was like, "Allie, I don't think you should say that because Nike could probably get really upset about you using that wording." So I quickly stopped
and
calling
it that.
You came
up with a better name for it.
Yeah, I think so.
The whole wicked thing is there in sheets. There's a connotation there that
absolutely
raises eyebrows.
Yeah, absolutely. I usually leave the intuiting up to everyone else's mind, but we always say, getting wicked in the sheets, but really the wick was a play on words for it wicks away and absorbs the moisture. And then, as I stated in the showcase, we always thought maybe a test market would be great in Boston and see if they were interested in the wicked cool sheets. Just buy them because they were named wicked sheets.
Well, that's cool. But I imagine your family must have been disappointed when you came home and told them you were basically throwing away this great education you got.
Right. But actually, the funny thing is about that, I probably use psychology more now, like actual human behavior and understanding human behaviors, their needs and wants, and in dealing with my customers, understanding that empathetic ear and offering a sympathetic solution to their problems. I use psychology all day long. So it wasn't the exact path that I had planned on going down, but I'm still utilizing my degree quite a bit.
Right. At least that's what you tell mom and dad, right?
Yes, exactly. Hey, I'm paying the student loan.
Well, tell me a little bit about the product. I know you've come up with some, it's grown a lot. And I know, give me an idea of the size where you buy. Is it all online or what's your marketing strategy there? Give me all the secrets.
Sure, all the secrets. Okay. So when we first started, I was just buying rolls of fabric from a distributor in Portland, Oregon, and I was getting them shipped to my one-bedroom apartment in St. Matthews. I moved all the furniture out of my apartment, rolled out these rolls of fabric, started cutting them by hand and doing it via measurements from a tape measure. I had volleyball knee pads on. I would literally cut the fabric myself. I would go on Craigslist and find seamstresses that could sew it. I typed in, specialty seamstresses, and you cannot imagine the job applications I got. Some folks that sewed motorcycle vests, some folks that sewed draperies, some that sewed lingerie for the thoroughbred lounge dancers. I mean, when you put specialty fabric on there, you get a little bit of everything. But turns out we've got a huge talent pool in the city. So what started as hand cutting and sewing has grown quite tremendously into a full cut and sew operation up in Cincinnati. We have three sewers and an electronic cutter that cuts the fabric about 20 at a time. And we've got a couple machines going around the clock, you know, sewing the stuff, and humans operating them, obviously. So we always say that it's luxury imported fabric handcrafted in the U.S., and we take a lot of pride in our workmanship and craftsmanship that goes into each set. But the product has probably been through four or five product life cycles and iterations, and now I think our seams are stronger, our product life is better. We're actually starting a popped seams sustainability program. So the wicking ability of the fabric and the cooling ability of the fabric that's in our new product line, that's never going to go away. The problem that we could see is, you know, people tossing and turning and tugging on seams. Every once in a while, you're going to have a popped thread. And so instead of being wasteful and throwing away the product, we actually want them to send it back to us. We'll give them a returnable bag, send it back to us. We'll have them fixed in-house, and then we'll ship it back because your sheets aren't going to decrease in their efficacy. So that's another big product iteration that we've moved on to.
And do your orders, where do your orders come from? I mean, you obviously, there's no Wicked Sheets store down the street. I mean, is it an online?
Right. We are primarily direct e-commerce, so wickedsheets.com, but we also sell on Amazon, on brookstone.com. We have about four or five other specialty retailers that buy direct from us, and we drop ship to their customers, or they have online stores. So we have a pretty large drop ship relationship. We're starting to break into the retailing. It was a little risky for me at first because we need to educate the folks on the product. This is not, you know, your typical Martha Stewart sheet. Someone wants to go and buy luxurious sheets, and they look at it and they go, Wicked Sheets, what's that? So we needed to educate the consumers and say, you can actually buy function and performance in addition to the luxury. So we wanted to make sure that people understood the product and that there was a market for it, and quite clearly there is a market for it. So we'll be distributing more into retailers this year, and then even further into healthcare facilities.
Healthcare. Wow. So you said you came up with the product as a solution to your problem.
I guess you've
slept on these things ever since, right?
I am sleeping on my original set still.
Wow.
From 6 years ago when I started the company, and I love them, and they're still licking away my sweat. It's amazing.
Well, that's great. That's great. And so do you have to wash them all the time because you sweat? I don't know if you stop sweating or
well,
how's that work with the sheets?
We need to put a disclaimer on the website. This is not a medical product, but they help with medical conditions, help with coping with medical conditions that cause or elicit night sweats. So like mine is hyperhidrosis. I have idiopathic hyperhidrosis. Mm-hmm. It's a fancy name for I have excess sweating and there's no actual medical reason. So I have just as many sweat glands as you do, as any person does. I just produce 3 to 4 times more sweat out of these sweat glands than the average person. So what happens then is when I sleep on them at night, the fabric wicks it off of my body, and it actually, it's really cool, it travels to the dry surface areas of the bed. So there's no wet spot underneath you, and then as it's traveling out, it evaporates. The cool part of it is, I mean, that's really cool, but the other cool part of it is...
I was stuck on no wet spot.
I know. Sorry. The joke. You ready for the dirty joke?
Yes, let's have it.
Never a wet spot, always a cold spot. Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, that's great. Well, the company, I know, is going places. Tell me a little bit about the future. I mean, I know there's some stuff going on right now, and we're hours away from the launch of your...
Yes.
New website, right?
Yes, new website. Wickedsheets.com, new website is coming out in hopefully 2 or 3 hours. This is our fifth iteration of the website, and I think this is obviously the best. Mm-hmm. On it, we are actually launching our baby line. So we now have five full baby products that we're offering to sweaty babies. We all know that babies have fast metabolisms, especially if they're breastfed. So a lot of them are going to be sweating a little bit more. And actually, one of the cooler ones is it's similar to the Moby wrap. It's a wrap for mother and baby that wicks away mom's sweat as well as the baby's sweat when they're nuzzled on the chest, and it works as a carrier just like any other baby carrier. In addition to that, we have a new color coming out, our cool gray. We have not added another color, I think, in 2 years. The dyeing process with this is really difficult just because of the pores of the fabric. And then we also have...
the colors are what? White?
We have Wicked White, Breezy Beige, and Cool Gray.
Okay.
Yes. And then we also...
I'm going to wait for the red ones.
Oh, okay. Okay, Wicked Red. We've actually had a lot of requests for black, navy, but the darker the color, the more dips you have to do into the dyes. And so then you have to look at... how the dye affects the wicking ability and clogs the pores of the fabric.
Okay.
Which is actually one of the tips we tell our customers. Do not use fabric softener with these sheets. The stickiness of fabric softeners actually clog the pores. And same with all fabrics, but in particular these, because they're larger pores allowing more oxygen to come in and out of the sheets. Okay. So if you put sticky fabric softener in there, it actually makes them a little stickier.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Okay, so, and I mean, what I'm trying to figure out here, Allie, is I mean, this is a in your house, a garage built business, but it's got some significant growth in size. I mean, how big is it? I mean, what can you tell me about? I mean, how many people have bought these sheets?
Oh, well, thousands. So we're hoping to be about $500,000 in revenue this year. We're actually in the middle of a fundraise right now that's going to help us launch some big inventory buys and the healthcare side of things. We need some cash in there for R&D, and I'm doing my first two full-time hires this year. The other really cool thing is that we're growing in terms of workforce development in Louisville. I just graduated from GLI's leadership program, and one of the main components of that was workforce development. And something that's been near and dear to my heart since I graduated with the psychology degree is giving jobs to stay-at-home parents of kids with disabilities. And so we'll make our first couple hires in 2015 of these stay-at-home parents, where the kids, you know, it's almost counterintuitive. If mom goes out but has to pay for childcare, I would actually like the kids to come and have some jobs to do around the facility. So, so it's almost like Harbor House in Louisville. They are a great organization. They employ adults with disabilities. It's like Harbor House meets manufacturing. That's what I'd like to do. So we're growing pretty rapidly, and I know I want to hit the $1 million mark in revenue very, very soon, but you got to get cash in the door to spend on marketing, and I think we're going to do that this year.
All right. Well, great. Well, great. Allie, we're about out of time. It's a fascinating story about Wicked Sheets. I'm very interested, and glad you came on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect, but the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And that was a lot of fun hanging out over at Allie's place. She has, that is a business to watch, I think. Wicked Sheets. Wicked Sheets, a business to watch, started right here in Louisville, Kentucky. Next up, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things going on this week in the news. First, I want to tell you about my friends at Louie Louie's Authentic Detroit Style Pizza. You've heard me talk about the rave about the food and the atmosphere. I tell you, Saturday night is a big night. Mike Spurlock, the owner, one of the co-owners, his band, The Bag of Hammers, is playing on Saturday night. It'd be a big night out there. They have a nice new outdoor patio that you can go out there and enjoy, and some good old rock and roll music inside while you enjoy some authentic Detroit-style pizza. That's my friends at Louie Louie's. It's right here in J-Town on Taylorsville Road in the old Ferd Grassani's building right near the square in J-Town. So I encourage you to come on out and join my friends at Louie Louie's. I think I might actually show up there Saturday night and listen to Bag of Hammers. So we'll see if that happens. A lot of stuff going on this weekend. As we move on to the rest of the show, I want to tell you about a few things I've been doing. This week was the Breakfast of Champions on Monday. I had about 50 guests or so come in and enjoy the talk by Jack and Lori Wolf. You heard Jack Wolf a few weeks ago here on the show. And very interesting business, the horse racing business. They buy and sell yearlings at the at three sales a year, and they have a group of right now about 10 people who invest in the entire group. You don't invest in one horse. It's sort of a unique approach that the Wolves have at Starlight Racing. And interestingly, Lori was a fascinating guest. She knows a lot about the horse business. She talked about Star Ladies Racing. She's got a partnership that just invests in fillies. I think they're going to win the Derby one year. It wasn't this year. They had It's a Knockout in the Derby, finished ninth, and you know, certainly that was a disappointment. But the Wolves approach it with a realistic look at what racing's all about, and so I really enjoyed hearing from them at the Breakfast of Champions. We take the Breakfast of Champions meets every 2 months, but we take July off, so the next breakfast will be in September. Of course, I'll let you know about that when we come up with who the guest will be, and we'll get the whole series started all over again. So anyway, that's one of the things I did this week. I also went on Tuesday morning to a Business First event, What's Brewing. They had another former Rusty Satellite guest, Ed Hart, the proprietor, the guy behind Kentucky Kingdom. He's a fascinating guy. He's a very interesting individual. I wrote a piece about it on LouisvilleKY.com. But I tell you, Kentucky Kingdom is, to listen to Ed Hart, is knocking it out of the park. It's really doing well over there. They're expanding their marketing to outlying markets, and they're having a lot of success. People are showing up. Even Hart even talked about how the East End was a little slow to come around in terms of attendance at the park. It's over at the fairgrounds, as you know, and eight new rides this year. Eight new rides. So if you got some kids, or if you're just an adult like me who likes to ride rides, might go check out Kentucky Kingdom. And they're the second year of being opened since they were shut down for several years. And it's a very interesting thing. It's a tourist attraction. It's very important to the success of our city. So I got to hear from Ed Hart, and that was quite an interesting morning. Nice breakfast put on over there by Business First, my former employers. They love me over there, I think. So what's going on in the news? The big news this week, recently came out a poll about, you know, next week is the GOP primary for the Republicans for governor. And there are four candidates. Three are in a virtual dead heat in the latest poll. A lot of controversy in the race last week. James Comer, the agriculture commissioner, was basically called out in a story in the Courier-Journal that he was accused by a former girlfriend from college at WKU of some really bad behavior, including an abortion. And we're going to see if that has an effect on the race. Now most of the time the race, former Louisville Metro Councilman Hal Heiner spent a lot of money early and amounted to and went out to a pretty big lead, but also Tea Party favorite Matt Bevin, who has his own issues. I heard an anti-Bevin commercial on the radio. He's in the race, and he's actually doing well. The Survey USA poll found that Bevin had 27% of the votes, Comer at 26, and Heiner 25, which means basically it's a dead heat at this point. Any of those three could come out as the winner in the May 19th primary. So we're just gonna have to wait and see how that plays out. If any other bombshells are dropped in the few days remaining before the primary, you're going to see a lot of advertising targeting a very small percentage of our population. Number one, the only people who vote eligible to vote in that race are Republicans, and of those Republicans, traditionally in primaries, very few go to the polls. But for those that are interested in, they're going to basically go down to the wire. It's a horse race for the Republican nomination for governor between James Comer, the agriculture commissioner, Hal Heiner, the former Louisville Metro councilman, and Matt Bevin, the Tea Party rep, a businessman. So that's going to happen, and whoever comes out of that is going to face Jack Conway in the fall. And Jack found a way to get his name in the news. I don't think it's any coincidence that Jack filed a lawsuit against Marathon Oil this week You know, there's no more popular issue than fighting the people who raise gas prices, right? And Conway has, since he's been Attorney General, seems been fighting this thing. It is hard to understand why gas prices in Louisville in particular are higher than the rest of the state and other nearby states. Well, here's some copy from Insider Louisville from Conway. He claims that Marathon is abusing its 1998 merger with Ashland Oil, pushing potential competitors out of the market through overly restrictive contracts with retailers and deed requirements on land it owns. And Marathon's the only wholesale gasoline distributor in the state. It's a sort of a monopoly that they have on us, and that is why Conway claims that gas prices are so high. So he's filed a suit, and we'll see how that lawsuit comes out. And a lot of times these things happen. You get a lot of publicity when they're filed, and then you never hear about them again. Conway will be running for governor. You'll probably hear a lot more about him after the primary. He has really no competition in the primary. He's going to be our Democratic gubernatorial candidate. He'll face either Comer, Heiner, or Bevin in what promises to be a very expensive and hard-fought race for governor. We haven't had a competitive race for governor really in 8 years. When Steve Beshear won in 2007, it was a highly competitive race. I was involved in that. In fact, it brought back memories. When I was at the Derby, I ran in. I wandered up to Millionaire's Row and certainly saw a millionaire up there. Bruce Lunsford was there. I had a short conversation with him. He seems to be enjoying his life investing in companies. He was, in fact, he told me it may have been Oaks Day I saw him, but he was all excited about the fight that was that weekend on Saturday night after the Derby. So Bruce is seems to be enjoying his life, but I tell you, at that time in 2007, I was working on his campaign. I really thought we were going to win that primary, and Beshear mounted a comeback at the last minute, and in the last couple of weeks surpassed the Lunsford campaign, and Beshear went on to become governor, and he has been for 8 years. And you know, I've been kind of a critic of some of the things that he's done. He basically he won that election because he said he would get gambling passed by sheer force of his charming personality. He didn't get that done. He got elected, but he didn't get the job done. And now we're concluding 8 years under the Beshear administration. We have a competitive race for governor. So that's what's going on in politics. It's good to know. On a lighter note, but still serious. Did you read about John Calipari's contract? You know, if you don't think college athletics are out of control in terms of the money paid to people involved in it, Calipari's contract extension that he's expected to sign like today or tomorrow is going to pay him $8 million for 1 year in his final season. It takes him through the year 2022, and it's just jaw-dropping the amount of money that is being paid to a college basketball coach. I don't care who you are or what you're doing. A lot of people may resent him for it. A lot of people think he deserves it. I just think it's a number that indicates that college sports are out of control. There's so much at stake with winning and losing in college sports. And if you look at at Kentucky's year in their basketball program, it dominates the news of the state. Calipari is arguably the most popular, at least the best known figure in the state, and he's going to get $8 million for a single season in 2022. He makes good money now, but the contract that he's signing basically goes up as long as he stays here. They're worried up at UK about him going to the NBA, which I guess is a legitimate concern. You want to keep your best coaches, your best, that you know, University of Louisville is not immune to that. They pay their coaches quite well. We have assistant football coaches making $1 million a year at U of L, and that's not unusual in our country. So like it or not, the people then in college athletics are doing well. They're making some good money if you rise to the top of the coaching profession in college athletics. So that's where that is. So I guess it's time to move on. Let's move on to my next guest. It's Tom Fawbush, and now I've known Tom for a while now, and have always been interested in talking to him about local television. WBNA is not the best known station. It doesn't have high ratings. It has no newscast, but WBNA has been there a while. They have a full power television station. The studio's out there on Fern Valley Road, right behind Brown Mackey College. College near Preston, and they've got a nice little production studio out there, and they're finding their niche in the television industry, in the television business. It's not they're not a network affiliate, but they are doing some innovative stuff. And you know, I mentioned earlier the Deadbeat program got a lot of publicity for WBNA because Carolyn McLean was on there, and they had attorneys and judges, and they were I don't know, it's a fine line between making fun of people who get in these situations where they can't pay their child support. They had this one guy on there who's known as Baby Daddy. He had some 10 kids that he was responsible for paying child support for by different women. That was an interesting and innovative show. Tom has figured out that some network type shows like reality shows are easily localized, and they're putting those together, and they don't need big ratings to be successful. They are successful shows. They're doing some really innovative stuff, and Tom is behind all that stuff. Hopefully we're going to get this film show. We'll talk about it. I've been working with him on a show about local filmmakers. We certainly like to do that. There's a lot of ideas, a lot of good ideas, good local ideas for local television, and that's what WBNA is all about. So let me just let you in on it. All right, the Rusty Satellite Show is at the studios of WBNA Television in Louisville out on Fern Valley Road, and I'm with Tom Fallbush, the general manager. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, Rick. Happy to be here. Really excited to be on the show.
And we've known each other a while and certainly had some great conversations about local television in the last few months, and I know there's a lot of projects in development, but tell me a little bit about, for the folks that don't know much about WBNA, tell me a little bit about the station.
Yeah, okay. Well, WBNA has been around for about 25 to 30 years. We went on the air in 1986. We'll do the math there. That's about 29 years.
There we go.
And so
you got to start planning a 30-year anniversary.
Yeah, I just realized that. Just as I said that, it's like, well, and so it started off as an independent station. It was primarily a ministry-oriented station at the time, and we still have a lot of ministry on the station as well. But we picked up a different approach to broadcasting over the years. We found that if you include and sort of tap into the general entertainment sort of approach to broadcasting, that it sort of rounds out the whole business model for the station. And so we've been doing that for about 20 years now. We've had affiliations with the CW, had affiliations with the PAX network, the ION network currently, and So we're sort of a unique station. In fact, we started off as a ministry station. We still have some of that orientation in our mornings and overnights, and we still have a heart for that at the end of the day. But we still also offer just general entertainment programming, which is just anybody could tune into. And we're one of the more unique stations in town in the sense that we're the only station that is locally owned. And when I say that, There are seven full power broadcast stations in town.
Okay.
And we are one of those seven. All the other seven are owned by corporations from who knows where. And not to say that they're not good folks and they run those stations, but there is something special about being owned and operated in the town that you reside in. And so we take a lot of pride in that.
Sure.
And so that's.
And you've had this building out here on Fern Valley Road. For what, the whole time, I guess,
really,
right?
The whole time. Right.
And it's sort of tucked back off the road, so a lot of people see it. But I saw you got a new sign up there.
There you go. Yeah, finally.
There
it is.
So there you go.
Redid the facade, finally, yeah.
But, so, we're sitting here in the studio, and you have sort of led a charge for more locally produced programming. And I know that let's talk first about the one that got you a lot of play, a lot of media play around here. It was Deadbeat.
Right.
And that was just a phenomenal amount of media exposure for your station, right?
It really was. And what do they say? Good or bad publicity. It's all good publicity at the end of the
right.
day. And so, but no, it was a really interesting.
Just spell my name right.
There, yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly right. But it's been a fascinating project. Well, I'll back up and say this. I think that we're in such a dynamic and competitive media landscape right now. You've got, of course, traditional broadcasters that have been around for 50 some years. But in addition to that, you've had all these other platforms come online that can provide video and media to people. You got, of course, cable. You have satellite. And then beyond that, now you have the internet, and you have services like Netflix and Hulu and YouTube, and now your mobile devices. And so, how does a local broadcast station still maintain its niche, its market? What keeps people coming to a broadcast station if they can get all their content online now? And so,
And really, it seems like, and not to poke a hole in what you're doing, but the trend is, and I know in my personal viewing habits, I almost can't stand to watch anything that's got a commercial in it now.
That's right. That's right.
And there's so many choices, but
there really is.
But I guess that's where you're going with providing something unique with.
That's right.
With local content.
That's right, yeah. Because if you look at, for example, Netflix, you can watch all of your broadcast series, television programs on demand anytime you want, commercial free. And that sort of viewing habit is not going to change. That's just here to stay. And so as a broadcaster, you look at that and go, well, people still watch us, but they're starting to switch gears and go a different direction with their viewing habits. Where does that leave us? Well, for example, we air Criminal Minds every night, or CSI, some of those crime dramas. You can now watch those on Netflix and Hulu. So why would you want to tune into us every night? And so we're looking at that long term and going, well, what makes us unique? Well, what makes us unique as a broadcast is the fact that we're local in this market. That no one, the cable company isn't, or should I say the cable network or ABC is not here. They're in New York. All these other media outlets are not here, so we are. So why not take advantage of that niche and develop some content that no one else could develop, and localize it to where it's very compelling for the local viewer, and then you can of course put it on your broadcast station, but you can also offer it online and mm-hmm. make it an on-demand experience. And the reason why that's important is because I can't do that with Criminal Minds. I can't go online and put that online right now. I don't have the rights to that. Local broadcast stations do not have the rights to put the programs that they run online unless they produce it and own it. And so, so that's another angle to this is, well, we need to own our content and we need to be local. Well, let's produce a show. I don't know. Let's produce a show like Deadbeat.
let's talk about some of the content on some of these shows, because I think a lot of them are very, very interesting. Deadbeat, of course, Carolyn McLean, who was on this show, was the host, and it was about deadbeat parents who didn't pay the child support. Got a lot of publicity here, but I know you just launched a new show about real estate.
That's right. Yeah, we launched a program called Your Kentuckiana Home. And it's sort of a hybrid program where you have a mixture of a real estate, discussions about real estate, interviews with agents and home builders, and for example, we'll go out to a nice new development in town and interview the builder and take a tour of the house and you can talk about the amenities and that sort of thing, and it's almost like a little HGTV angle to real estate, to a real estate listing, but in addition to that, we wanted to include some remodeling, angles to it. So we have Lowe's involved with us now. They're doing a home improvement segment. We wanted to have some home interior designers, some decorators involved. So we've interviewed several of those folks, and so we're getting just anybody that's related or that's in the home, universe. They're selling it or building it or remodeling it or fixing it or making it look great, or landscaping it. We want them involved in this program, and they are.
It's not like all these real estate shows where they say this house is for sale for X dollars, call the agent and buy it. Right?
No, it's not that at all. No, it is. It's more of an entertainment driven program to where you get to tour the home and see what the latest styles are and just learn a lot about the home, for at least for those segments. But other segments are about remodeling and a lot of DIY stuff. How do you paint this house? How you do it.
Those shows are popular on cable and those types of shows. And I think if I'm if I'm guessing right, you've sort of taken the lead in like some reality shows or some other sort of successful national network shows and localized
right.
them, right?
There we go. Yeah, exactly right. That's sort of an approach that we've tapped into. Because, you know, there are genres of programming that just seem to work, you know, mm-hmm. and so why not, why reinvent the wheel if you... But what we are reinventing or creating something unique is we're taking those national-style programs that work across the board, but then localizing it. And so it creates a little bit more of a unique viewing experience for people. Okay. For example, we're launching a new program this fall called Dream Funders. And what it is, it's almost like a local version of Shark Tank.
Okay.
And you may have seen Shark Tank on ABC. It's sort of an entrepreneurial venture capital type of program where an entrepreneur will come up in front of a panel of the sharks, you know,
right.
which are really
you pitch your idea, pitch and then they either thumbs up or thumbs down,
thumbs
right?
Down, you got it right.
It's tough, but yeah, we had Lori Cheek is a local person who was on this show, but she was on NBC Shark Tank and
really?
pitched that thing. So
I need her number.
There you go.
We need to get her on the show,
but. You know, I wanted to ask because I'm really excited about this show. I know you've got in development about filmmakers. I hear it's a really dynamic, great, wonderful program, right?
That's right. Yes, absolutely. Well, part of that reason is we might have the one and only Rick Redding involved with it, and which is exciting because, you know, it'd be great to work with you on this project. But no, what it is, it's called Florida Film, and it's basically an hour-long film television show that's going to focus on Louisville filmmaking. And that's a kind of a broad umbrella term. So it can mean basically we air and interview filmmakers and their films that are from here, or maybe a film that has been made about Louisville, or maybe an actress or an actor is from Louisville that's in this film. But primarily what you're going to see is a lot of local filmmakers that have produced great content that get to now highlight their content to the community, and it's fun. Louisville's becoming a little hotbed for media, for production,
like
for movie making, and there's a strong network of people here that are producing this stuff. So why not help highlight that? And our vision of having being a locally grown television station here, you know, that's our moniker now, locally grown TV.
Uh-huh.
Well, why not pull some of these locally. Local directors and producers and give them a platform
sure.
to do this. So there we go.
Well, sounds like a great idea. I think I'd like to get involved with that.
Well, all right.
We just got a few minutes left, but I want to ask you how you get to be a general manager of a station like this. You've got a long career in media, right, Tom?
Yeah, I sure do. And actually, I have a long career in media at this location. I actually started when I was a teenager here at this station. About 1988, so whatever that is. That's a long time ago.
We're going to have to work on our math.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 26, exactly. Well, 27 years. Anyway, so started here, worked here for many years through college, and then went away, worked for Clear Channel, worked for the PAX Media Group, worked for a cable company here in town, but then came back about 6 years ago. And so, but yeah, I've been in the industry since day one, and so done about everything you can do. And so, but it was a really unique opportunity to be able to come back here, the place where I kind of started my in this industry. And
you can go home again.
Okay. Yeah, very exactly good. Right.
All right, well, we got to wrap it up, but Tom, it's great to see all the neat things going on out here at WBNA, and we'll be watching Channel 21 to
absolutely
see
tune in. Very good. Thanks, Rick. Real pleasure. Thank you.
And there it is. That will almost put a close on the Rusty Satellite Show, number 97, if you can believe it or not. Thanks to Tom Fawbush for talking to me over at his studios on Fern Valley Road, and for Allie Trutman for explaining the story of Wicked Sheets to me in her home office over there off Grinstead Drive. Rusty Satellite Show is in show number 97, if you can believe it. I'm planning a party for the 1st of June. I hope to invite you and your closest friends, and hopefully some of our great Rusty Satellite guest, which number almost 200 people have appeared on the show. Nobody, except for a couple of special people, have appeared twice on the show. So I have a new and different guest every week. I have some things planned for the next few weeks that are really going to be great. You're going to want to continue to listen every week on the Rusty Satellite Show for what's coming up next. There's a lot of good activities going on this weekend. My friend Caroline Knopp is promoting Bardstown Bound. That's an opportunity to drink beer out in public. That's the main thing that we do around here that for fun. And Bardstown Bound is down on Bardstown Road. I know that in St. Matthews, there's a festival on, when is that? It's on Saturday. It's the St. Matthews Chamber is putting on a street festival down there in St. Matthews. There's just always something going on. I talked to somebody the other day that said, man, you know, I just moved to Louisville last year and it seemed like every weekend there was some sort of festival or thing to do. And that is basically what it comes down to is we like to walk around outside and drink beer. That's Louisville in a nutshell. So there's a lot of other things going on in sports. You want to be paying attention. Boy, I watched that golf last weekend, the Players Championship. I couldn't get off the couch. I was riveted to the screen. The Players Championship, Ricky Fowler in a playoff won, and it came from way back. An amazing golf course down there in Jacksonville. Great to watch on TV. I know a lot of you probably don't sit around on the weekend and watch TV, but this weekend it's the Preakness Stakes on Saturday in Baltimore. See if American Pharoah can keep the Triple Crown dream alive. That has not happened in horse racing since 1978 when Affirmed won it. So a lot of people will be tuned in to the Preakness Stakes on NBC on Saturday. And also this weekend, right up the road in French Lick is the PGA Seniors Championship. I'm planning to go up there for at least one day and see the competition, see how the pros do it. So no shortage of things to do. The Louisville City FC soccer team had a game this week and won at Slugger Field. So that's great. The Bats are coming back to town. So there is just so much to do right here in Louisville, Kentucky. You can keep up with a lot of those events on my website, the Pulse of the City, LouisvilleKY.com. My friend Jackie Bentley is posting a lot of stuff on there. There's a lot of great photos from photographer Bill Breimer, and we're just happy to have that site rocking and rolling every week with events and news that's going on in my hometown, Louisville, Kentucky. So with that, we're going to close up this edition of the Rusty Satellite Show, number 97. Just three more until we hit the magic 100 mark. Got a lot of thanks to give out. I want to welcome my new sponsor, Snelling Staffing. The Louisville franchise is a place to go if you need a job or know someone who needs a job. There's all sorts of work available there. They are busy. I'm telling you, you can, no matter what you're looking for or what you do, you can probably find a job there. Always want to thank my sponsor, Passport Health Plans, for supporting the show, and as well as Louie Louie's Authentic Detroit Style Pizza. Thanks to my producer, Dan Vonderhyde, for putting the show together every week, and I will be back with show number 98 next week. The show premieres every Thursday at the crack of dawn, so tune in, and until then, this is Rick Redding, your host of the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city. Airplanes in the buildings every time I